O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For generations, the people had been relying on stories of the past. The people of God had been conquered by an empire, by Babylon, and because Babylon thought that it would make ruling their empire easier, the people of God were forced into exile. The idea was to break the people's spirit. But paradoxically, it created a kind of a hope in the people, albeit a hope that could only look to the past. The hope of the people was to get back to what there was before. Their hopes had been something like, before the exile, there had been justice under a king of our own. Before the exile, there was food grown on a land of our own. Before. The people wanted a return to a past that in their imagination was perfect. Who could blame them? Then came something like an answer to their prayers. Another empire conquered that first empire. Persia conquered Babylon, and because Persia felt it would make ruling their empire easier, the people were allowed to return home. The idea was to keep the people content. And so the people went home. This is what they had been dreaming of. This was what the psalmist wrote of weeping, saying, by the rivers of Babylon, we hung up our lyres, for how can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? This was what the prophets had sung about, saying, in the wilderness, prepare a highway for our God. With joy at the return of the people home, every valley would rise up, every mountain would bow down. So wonderful would this return from exile be that the very earth itself could not help but dance for the people. This was everything they had hoped for. And so they returned to this place that had been a palace in their memories. But though returned, things were not as they had imagined. By the time that we read the book of Nehemiah, nearly 100 years has passed since they've returned home. And things were not as they had dreamed. There had been justice under our own kings before, right? Why is injustice everywhere now? There had been food here before, right? Grown on our own land. Why is hunger and scarcity everywhere now? They had returned, but the stories they had told themselves of the past had not lived up to reality. What does this mean for them now? Whole books, plural, S, books of the Bible are about trying to make sense of why this return was not as they had hoped. Haggai. The book of Haggai is about maybe it'll all be better if you just rebuild the temple. It would take generations, but generations is something they had. They rebuilt the temple. Still. The book of Nehemiah, for its part, comes in and says, well, maybe the walls of the city have to be rebuilt. And much of the book of Nehemiah concerns the societal and administrative challenges of just such a building project. But here in chapter 8, which Kat read for us, here, at last, we see the heart of the matter laid out. We see why it is their hopes have not been fulfilled. Here in this passage, we read why it is. We read about a way forward for the people in that day, and a way forward for us this day. Nehemiah 8 says that the law of God, is read out loud and interpreted so that the people could understand it, the sense and the meaning. And in understanding the law, what is expected of them, the people wept. They wept with grief. They wept with grief upon hearing what it was that God expected of the people, hearing a blueprint of how the social order ought to be. They wept with grief on hearing of the law of the Sabbath, that all people were to rest on the Sabbath, those who were free and those who had been enslaved. They remembered how King Solomon and King David, how they had kept scores of slaves. This temple that they dreamed of, that they had rebuilt, it had been built by those who were given no rest. This perfect thing in their memory, it had never existed in the first place, not really. This was not what the law had imagined. The people wept for grief, hearing the law against debt imprisonment, remembering that those fertile farms that they remembered, that meant that the land practically flowed with milk and honey, that these had been held in just one or two hands. The whole of the land bought up and held by people, so that those who had worked and owned the land once were little more than debtors. The abundance that they remembered, that land flowing with milk and honey, that milk and honey had flowed, true, but it flowed only to a privileged few while the most went hungry. This was not what the law had demanded. This perfect past that they had remembered, it had not been so perfect as in the stories they told of it. These present struggles that they had, there simply was not some other time in the past when everything had been perfect. They had been hoping for a return to a perfect past. It had allowed them to survive for generations on that hope. What grief. What grief to learn that what they had been hoping to return to, it had never even existed at the start. What grief. And so they wept. And who could blame them? Who could blame them hearing the law, because it showed them the truth of their history, the hope that had sustained them? It was an empty hope. God could not make a lie into the truth. Not even God can make a lie into the truth. God, least of all, would want to make a lie into the truth. But then to a people in tears, Nehemiah says, "Do not grieve. Do not grieve. We just learned that the substance of our hopes are based on nothing. Do not grieve." Nehemiah says, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The law. The law of God, which is read, that they understood. The law was something that showed the people the failures of the past. Yes. And grief is understandable and has its place. Yes. But the purpose of the law is not primarily to convict the guilty. The purpose of the law is to show a path forward for righteousness. That is the purpose of the law, to show a path of righteousness, the law of the Sabbath, of rest and care for the weak. The people could begin to follow that at any time, and everyone would be more free for the following of it. The law against debt imprisonment, of ensuring that people were worth more than money, they could begin to follow that at any time, and the people would thrive the more fully for doing it. It would gladden the heart of God for them to follow the law, and it would make their own nation thrive too. This is why they should not grieve. The joy of the Lord is their strength. They had been given the path towards thriving. This passage from the book of Nehemiah, it gives the people a frame for understanding the past and planning for their future. They are to look at their past, not with nostalgia, fantasizing about a perfect past that never did exist, but instead with honesty, seeing the generations of the past not as heroes nor villains, but simply people, much like they themselves. They were to look at the past and carry forward those lessons that led to life and leave behind those practices that led to nothing but death. When they looked to the past, they would carry forward those lessons that lead to life and leave behind those practices that lead to death. That is the Nehemiah spirit of understanding history. The Nehemiah spirit is one that we too, here in this place, in this congregation, in this day and age, need. We too, here in this place, we are rich with history. We return to this place that is so tied up with American history, with the Revolution, with the birth of this nation. We return to this old place and we say the old words and sing the old songs and wear the old clericals, and I offer to you that we ought to have a Nehemiah spirit in this place. We ought to look at our history, not with nostalgia, creating a perfect past that never did exist, but instead with honesty. We should see the generations of the past, of our past generations, neither as heroes who we could never live up to or villains who we couldn't understand, but simply as people, much like you or I. We can look to the past and carry forward those lessons that lead to life and leave behind those practices that lead to nothing but death. It is right to grieve as we look over our history in a place that was founded to allow openness for baptism, to allow those who were just coming into the faith to thrive, for a place that was founded on that value. We stood idly by and even aided the public religious persecution of the Quakers. People were hanged. The Mary Dyer statue in front of the State House, we were on the wrong side of that one. We fundraised, too, large sums of money in this place. Pass the plate. We fundraised large sums of money in this place for Native American residential schools. The printing press upon which the Bay Psalm book was printed, that was brought to the United States because we had fundraised for it on the idea that we would create evangelization tracts for the Native peoples. That was why we brought over that press upon which the Bay Psalm book was printed. We were fundraising for these residential schools, which were a project intended to erase Native American culture. The genocidal project was covered with the mantle of the church's holiness, and we called it charity. We called it saving souls. These things ought to be grieved and left behind. And we ought to carry forward those things that truly do lead to life and life abundant, celebrating the courage of our forebears and being inspired to live up to it, not because these people are heroes whose lessons we could never match, but they are simply people like you or I with the same challenges, the same difficulties of rising to courage. And so we ought to remember the courage of our forebears and be challenged by it. I remember my predecessor, Samuel Willard. Samuel Willard saw people unjustly imprisoned in the Salem witch trials. And while my own instincts upon seeing the levers of the law turned to the purposes of injustice and death, while my own instincts might be to write a letter, form a committee, make sure these people had a lawyer, get them food, vote the bums out, pray, Samuel Willard led a prison break. He gathered members of the church and hammers and chisels and went to Salem and led a prison break. He saw that the levers of the law were being used to further injustice. As trans lives are criminalized across this country, I offer to you Samuel Willard. As thousands of neighbors are rounded up by nationalized police who do not show their faces or identification, I offer you Samuel Willard, who stood up to an unjust arrest machine in his own days with rather direct means. Christians, we should look at history, our own history, the history of this nation, the history of the faith. Christians, we ought to look at history and have a Nehemiah spirit about it. We have to look at history not with nostalgia, fantasizing about a past that never did exist, but instead with honesty, to see the generations of the past not as heroes whose example we could never live up to, nor villains whose choices we would never fall prey to, but rather as people, much like you or I. We We can look at the past and leave behind those practices that lead to death and carry forward those lives, that those practices and lessons that lead to life and life abundant. In this place, in these days, may God help us. Amen.